everybody. Welcome to another episode of Citizen Kane. It's September 11th, 2016. It's a Sunday, and we've got quite a show for you this evening. Check out the archives, all previous videos. There are exactly two of them. We're getting up there, Shauna.
Adding up.
CitizenKane.org is the website where you can find that and the show notes. Anytime we do an article, I'll go ahead and try to make sure we link to those so you have something to follow up with. Of course, follow us on the old Facebook, same name, of course. Feel free to leave any messages and comments there, or you can email me directly, show@CitizenKane.org. The best thing about this show is you can call in Sundays, 8 to 9 p.m. Eastern. The number is 267-521-2771, or you can Skype us, better quality, of course. The handle is Citizen Kane, and I think I've covered that all.
You hit record and you started the timer.
I started everything, and I didn't tell us who we were. In the studio dungeon with you this evening, it is me, of course, Conan Soliday.
And it's Shauna.
And I think we're just going to go straight into... What day is it? So it's September 11th.
Yep. It's my twin niece's birthday today.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they're 15 years old.
Tuesday is, of course, going to be the primary election, of which I am running in Keene Ward 4, running against Democratic incumbent Gladys Johnson.
And for what's the office? State Senate?
State representative.
State rep. Okay.
Not to be confused with the state Congress or state Senate. So it's there's 400 of us, and there's about one per 3,000 people here in New Hampshire when we legislate the law. And we'll see what happens. I know if you're watching this on Cheshire TV, this is past the fact. We've already done the primary election. But why am I talking about this if it's past the fact? Because I'm going to rant.
And so just to be clear, you're not running you're not running for the position. You're running for the candidacy for that party. You're running as a Democrat.
It doesn't matter what party that I'm running with. I'm running as state rep for Ward 4. So I can be independent, Republican, Democrat. But in the primary, I'm going to be running against another Democrat.
Okay. And if you lose the primary, then
I will not be at the general election.
The winner of the primary is one who will be Democrat.
One who gets candidate. To take all the prizes home. So if you're watching the... let me go ahead and skip this over to... If you're looking at the screen, you're like, why is that a picture of grass? Well, if you look closely, there's a metal yard sign holder there and just grass and no sign. Somebody thought it would be cool to take one of my signs over on West Street and 9, Highway 9, right there at the overpass. It's been there for an entire month. And, of course, this is the third year that I've used these signs, about 50 of them, about two years ago. And every time I've taken my signs out, I've gotten every single one of them back except this year. So, of course, I'm a little upset. I posted the picture and some people...
And is this in a strange place? Like, was yours the only sign there?
No, there's signs all over the place. You've got some Senate signs.
Were they all taken, or are they still standing? It's
nope.
Just yours.
It's
that
just
was
my
taken.
Sign, and of course, you can tell by the height of the grass. It wasn't the grass mowers out there, and they moved the sign and forgot to put it back up. And of course, I walked around the yard looking for it. I walked around the forest there, seeing if someone had just tossed it in there. Nope, couldn't find it. So of course, I posted it, and I got over it. I slept on it, got over it. The next day. Someone took my sign from out here in front of the 7-Eleven.
There's another one that's missing.
There's another missing sign. So I'm very upset right now with the some individuals who thought it'd be cool to suppress the vote. And you know,
Do you want to accuse anyone?
I don't. Or is it I don't know. I don't know who would do
it. Dang
it. Like I said, it's been.
I think it was Ian.
It's been three elections, and you know I've been lucky ever since. Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the first year that any of this nonsense has happened.
And it's not like you have anything in your positions of what you would do if you won the full election. Of like, oh, I'm going to make hitting people legal or something. Your sign just says, you know, lower taxes, small government, common sense.
Yeah, and actually, and it actually does an example of one right behind you. And yeah, I mean, but there are people who are definitely afraid of the idea of smaller government. What would happen if you did away with protective government that keeps us from, guess what, Shauna? Criminals who criminals who steal people's signs. It's just a crazy concept. I think that I feel that the free market does such a better job than government could ever do. And of course, I want to attack things that are easily explainable. I mean, there are things like, of course, roads and courts, and military. I mean, how do you do that free market style? Well, those are the last on my list. First things on my list, stuff like education, the airport, parking enforcement, public works, all these are things that it could be easily done via the free market and.
Or just done better.
Well, yeah, done better.
I mean, just done better. Even if it was still government ran, it's still possible. Like if education was still under the purview of the government or whatever, like the children still don't need new netbooks every year. They don't need iPads every year. It actually makes them, it's a hindrance to learning. So, I mean, this is... It's infuriating as well. I mean, there's nothing offensive. There's no strong signals in your signs that are like, I'm one of the bad people you can, get or something, or like, I want bad things. I mean, common sense. How infuriating can that possibly be?
Well, there will be government positions that would be no more. Actually, they would not work for the government any longer. A lot of the positions would stay. I mean, the guys that are doing the roads, the city clerks. School teachers, these people aren't going to just lose their jobs and be out on the street. We'll still need people taking care of the roads. We'll still need teachers.
I mean, if you know how to build roads, you probably have a skill that's marketable.
But no, when you hear get rid of government, people think, well, he wants us all living on the streets. He doesn't want any of us to have our jobs. It is fearful. It does scare some people. That's for sure. And who would protect us from bad people?
Well, who would take a sign? I mean, I don't think it's the person that you're running against in the primary.
I don't know.
Like,
it could be.
I mean, if it's kids, I would think kids would go and...
They probably would have thrown it in the woods and I would have found it already.
Well, you would have thrown it in the woods and found it already. But I also think, like, if you're going to do something funny, like steal a sign, like mutilate it or, trash it or something so that it can be seen, the thing that you did. Just stealing a sign that is so... chicken ass. Like, it doesn't even make any sense. You're not even doing anything. You're just like, no sign.
Yeah,
like,
it's, well,
whatever.
That is so lame.
It's pretty lame.
It is lame.
It's pretty lame whoever did it.
And it's not funny. It's not like, that's actually a pretty good gag. It's just,
But I'm over it. Passive. So that was $12.
Obviously, I'm not.
$12 out of my pocket. And of course, the time and energy I spent out putting them up. So I'll get over it. And, of course, I'll probably go out there tomorrow and find another two signs missing. But anyways.
Maybe they'll be lined around the yard.
Let's talk about some stuff that happened this week in Keene.
This week in Keene.
Keene Fire Captain. Where is his name at? DeLuzio. Got caught doing the naughty. And, of course, was charged with the crime of... soliciting for sexual favors with another consenting adult.
Nope, that's not what happened.
That is exactly what happened. Tell me what happened, Shauna.
On July 7th, Keene police arrested a woman because of an ad she placed on a popular prostitution website that I didn't know about till reading this. Thanks, Sentinel.
Actually, further on down in the article...
Then they searched her phone, and then they were able to, call back the number or look the phone number up and said, oh... you're somebody that she's talked to.
Right, but that's not what he was charged with. He was charged with agreeing to pay a prostitute $70 for sexual favors. Another consenting adult.
So text messages, probably.
Well, whatever kind of messages they were, it was with... The problem is... See, here, I don't have the problem with the crime that he was charged with. In fact, I'm a little upset that it's 2016 and people... can have sex with other people, with other consenting adults, but they can't exchange money because that's wrong. Even though I could take a woman out on a date and wine and dine her, drive her around, take her to a movie, and, how is that not transferring material wealth to that person in exchange for, you know, some nookie later on.
Well, what if they worded everything differently? I mean, if DeLuzio had the woman that he was speaking with or texting, whatever, said, hey, I need $70. Can you give me $70 or something like that?
Or not even said, not
even. I mean, I'm really trying to find like the difference, the substantive difference. I mean, there's relationships and all that, and people somehow sense a difference. But since casual sex is so the norm, it's like, well,
that's what I mean. It's surprising that it is 2016 and this is still an issue. This is still a problem. I think people need to grow up, or some old prudes need to, you know, go away, so that we can get on with the rest of our society, the rest of this culture, move this culture in the right direction, and stop making criminals out of people who aren't really criminals. Actually, focus on they set up a sting for this. They spent thousands of dollars on getting six people, and of course, one of them was this guy. I haven't really identified the crime, so now I'm identifying the crime. One of the smaller crime was, of course, he used government property, a government issue phone, to make this transaction.
Make any transaction that's not related
to make
work.
Anything.
Which I don't know if that's actually illegal. It's just not company policy for a lot of places. But even within, there's leeway.
You're right. I've been issued a company issue phone before, and just kind of used it for everything.
And if you got caught, they weren't going to throw you in jail.
Well, it was always on. It had unlimited minutes. It was always on.
Calm down with the texting your girlfriend or something.
So the problem I have, of course, with this is it was with a company phone, and there's a possibility that it was on company hours. Possibility. But you know what? I could forgive the guy for both of those things.
Mm-hmm.
The problem I
even
have,
even though he's a government official, he's a keen fire captain.
If he was on his own time, then so be it. It's none of my damn business. For real. But what I have a problem with is all the thousands of dollars that was spent capturing this guy and then making a big deal of it. So you got the police setting up the sting. You've got them working overtime hours. You've got them running around tracking phone numbers and Facebook messages to find out who these people are and going and catching them. And of course, it's the drug task force.
This is the drug task force that found this?
They set up a sting, and I guess
for
think prostitutes are more likely to do drugs. And so we have the heroin problem, of course.
Prostitution related, not entirely related, but related to being illegal does bring a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
And some of it is because it's illegal and that, you know, pushes it under and all of that. And some of it is just the nature of, you know, the person who would do that. But then I think that goes the same with, you know, casual sex. And the hookup culture that's destroying both men and women. And I don't think it's just the old prudes who are still against prostitution, who are still in favor of the Johns being caught. I think it's, well, pretty much any chick could be, you know, it's a common thing to be not in favor of it. Which to me doesn't make any sense, because capitalizing on your sexual agency, especially when you're still at an age where you have any capital to spend, is, you know, kind of the basis of a lot of feminist movements.
But why
still spend energy on keeping it illegal and spending money on enforcement?
Well, here are the main issues that are brought up whenever someone tries to legalize or decriminalize
prostitution.
Consensual sex for money. So there were some legislators early this year who tried to pass just that.
In New Hampshire.
Okay. The opponents, of course, their biggest concerns are human sex trade.
Which is real.
Slavery, which is an absolute real thing.
Yep.
And the other one is the transference of STDs from both parties, which is another real thing.
Shut down colleges and not allow women to enter college.
Or men, one or the other. But here is the real problem. Here's why these things even exist. Here's why prostitutes get beat up, they get raped, and sometimes even murdered. This is why STDs get spread via prostitution. It's because this is all black market. It's because these things are not self-regulated. You can say self-regulated or even government-regulated. Neither of these are happening. These people are under the radar. They're dealing with actual criminals, criminals who are making money because it's black market and that's good money. And this is where all these problems come from. Now, I'm not saying that selling your body for sex is actually a good thing, and I don't want anyone to do it. But again, you know, it's none of my business.
A lot of people don't think that it's none of my business is good enough. I mean, I'm just pointing out that's not exactly how I feel about it. I've been friends with prostitutes. I've had prostitutes live with me where I lived as a kid. So, you know, I know that they're human and all that. Haven't found one that I liked just on the basis of what they do or how they behave, but that was, you know, those individuals and everything. I think part of it, what makes it that they, it's not that they can't self-regulate. It's not that, you know, if you're a prostitute, you can't get STD tested. You can't be picky. It's that it's very expensive. It's way more expensive with the black market because there's so many hindrances that get in the way of doing the right thing.
It's expensive and it's dangerous
even, you know,
for both parties.
If you're hosting a private dinner and you're being paid for it and the guests, you know, if they want to eat, they got to, you know, pony up the money and you're just feeding them food. It's expensive and it's out of the way to, you are going way out of your way to make sure that the cold foods are cold, the hot foods are hot, everything's up to temperature, everything's sanitized, sanitary. The you know, wash the utensils don't have glass in them, which I have, which I did catch once when I was following the law at all times. And, you know, you're another person doing the same thing is not incentivized at all to be that jacked up about safety.
Yeah, it doesn't.
What would you do? Go to the cops? Well, you know.
So that's exactly what happens. If a prostitute does get beat up, what's she going to do? This is the same problem with the prohibition on drugs. This is prohibition. So prohibition on consensual sex is the exact same as prohibition on drugs, which is, and if you are a heroin user and you actually got sold something that was bad from a individual on the side of the street, what are you going to do? You're going to go complain? You're going to go, you know, tell the police on him?
Maybe since prostitution is older than illicit drug use and the approbation, well, the disapproval of being a prostitute and going to a prostitute and the open capitalizing on illicit sex and sorry, not sorry, but fornication is much more ingrained in culture, then perhaps it's just taking longer for people to acclimate to it being so-called okay.
Well,
it shouldn't be illegal. Like the way pot has. Pot's only been like, 100 years or something. It's gone from just something that those people over there do to, oh my gosh, these evil people do it and you're going to, you know, become a communist if you smoke a weed or something. And
but
now
you support the Mexicans, but now that's going away. People are waking up to the idea.
Well, I don't know, but people are waking up, but people are getting used to it. It's being socially acceptable to be a pothead. Just don't be annoying. Whatever.
Yeah. The culture is changing.
With
the culture will
prostitution,
change.
Prostitution, it seems to be taking longer right now. Sadly, for the past 100 years or so, as women who are as middle class women, for the most part, are becoming liberated from their horrible domestic lives and all that.
And those horrible men as well.
And those horrible men, far as they know, it wasn't the prostitutes who were the targets of suffrage and feminism. Okay. That's been however many generations in the last 100 years or so has been, no, you're supposed to hook up with a man until you hook up with men, plural, until you're about, you know, mid-30s or 40s or something, and then start to settle down or whatever. And in those years when you're expected to just hook up, and men believe it too, you know, so they do not settle down when they're young as well, because they're discouraged. yet it's like you gave the example in the beginning of what's the difference between, you know, somebody taking a girl on a date and paying for everything and fully everybody expecting sex afterwards. Maybe as that permeates the culture more, sadly, I don't hope that that happens, but it, you know, as society disintegrates, prostitution will also become socially acceptable because there will be absolutely no difference, not just in the logical consistency that we keep, libertarians keep, and reasonable people just keep repeating over and over that there's no difference, there's no difference. It'll become socially seen as no different. And enforcement will voluntarily stop. They won't bother the government.
Yeah, yeah, hurting people. And that's the problem. So you see that is this is the wrong move because it's a type of culture. It's a part of culture that is unseemly. But I also see that punishing people for wanting to do this, that I might not agree with, I see that just as bad.
This way of punishing doesn't seem to work because they just find Backpage. If there weren't, before there was Backpage, there was Craigslist.
Yeah, it drives it further underground.
There's still Craigslist. Before there was Craigslist, there was probably MySpace messages. Actually, there were because I got some offers. But this obviously doesn't help. It would have, government level enforcement and police enforcement doesn't help. I don't know what did help years ago other than fatherly disapproval. Or fatherly approval, embarrassing the girl, or, you know, social approbation and social encouragement for the woman involved or the man to get out of that life and to not, you know, for society to ostracize the behavior and create dynamics where that behavior doesn't become habitual. So
like drug abuse. We don't want to throw these people in jail. We don't want to drive it underground. We want to help these people. We want to.
Well, maybe I don't.
Drug users?
No, maybe I, as nameless individual, maybe I am so disgusted by, you know, legal aspects of the hookup culture that, you know, you're a prostitute who got popped. Well, to me, you know, maybe you just can't figure out risk mitigation.
Okay,
and I don't want to have anything to do
good.
With you. If you're some loudmouth screaming about how all men are pigs or something because, you know, you rode the carousel too much and you hooked up too much and they're not really wanting to hook up anymore. Well, you know, maybe I don't care about that either. This is really only this being
the carousel.
The police no, we're not talking about the carousel. The government police enforcement of these is, I think it's kind of lazy in terms of giving Sentinel readers and I don't want to say the common people, but
have you seen all the comments on this particular story? Some stories will go all week long, no, not a single comment, and all of a sudden you get something like this, and it's
it
got 50 in one day.
It's kind of what I always tend to see is people are, oh, this guy's so horrible. Oh, they should, you know, this is so terrible. All the problems that come with prostitution, and they do, they all get listed on there. And then there's somebody who's like, I'm going to run my own whorehouse. It's like, move to Nevada. You'll hit the ground running. I don't know.
By the way, good example of a situation where it works, where it is regulated. You have clean women. You have safe women. And I don't want to admit to it, but this state of Nevada makes a lot of money off it as well. I'm not pushing for that aspect of it, but
I enjoyed my whorehouse story when I lived there, yeah.
This poor individual was sentenced 360 days in jail, suspended for good behavior.
Who, and the guy or the girl?
The Deluzio. Oh. We don't know anything about the girl. She might still be in jail for all we know because she's a repeat offender. He has to take some inpatient sexual recovery treatment program, which hopefully he's paying for.
They didn't find her body in a ditch.
Yeah, hopefully he's paying for this program, and it's not something that you and I are viewers. But and hopefully this guy's life isn't just completely ruined by this just absolute nonsense.
Although he is a government official, you know the rules, you know the boundaries.
The rules were don't use the phone for personal.
It's safe to assume though that he knew that soliciting a prostitute is illegal, and if he's married, then I don't know. It's a lot of problems.
Speaking tremendous. Of other things, other wastes of taxpayers' money. Last Friday evening in Manchester, is this Manchester or Concord?
Manchester.
Some Liberty folk set up a anti-sobriety checkpoint. I don't know. It's before one of the bridges. I don't do a lot of driving around in Manchester.
There's a bridge, and along the bridge, there's a checkpoint. They set up signs warning people, hey, you got to turn left now before that intersection, like before it's too late, when there's still time to move around in
right,
your car and go the other direction.
Before you get on the bridge where you can't turn around, you're forced to go through it.
And I think before the point where if you turn around, then you get popped for turning around.
Because you would be issued with an illegal turn or something like that. But they'd be able to check you. They'd be able to see whether your vehicle is inspected, whether your vehicle isn't registered, whether you have a license. And of course, they say that what they're doing is they're keeping the streets safe from drunk drivers.
Well, they call it a sobriety checkpoint, not a is your insurance up to date, which thankfully is not.
But as
entirely the requirement. In
but as you and I know, when you look at the statistics, when you look at the results from these events, almost always the majority of folks who are issued with anything is not sobriety DUIs, DWIs. They are vehicle inspections, registration, driving without a license.
Well, there was one I posted.
They're fishing.
From the Facebook a couple of days ago. That there was one in, I think it was Newport, and out of 172 cars stopped, they got three people. Two of them were for driving under suspended license, or they weren't authorized to drive. So who knows? That could have been parking tickets.
Yeah, what percentage of 170
is it? It's less than one. I did the math. You should have read the post.
This is a phishing scam, and it's a way for cops to prove to us normies that they're doing a good job keeping us safe. It also gives them the opportunity to clock in a lot of extra overtime hours. And, they also get federal money.
So what you have here is a link to somebody's opinion column.
Right. This is Mark Hayward
about the last time that there were people in Manch holding signs warning people. And he seems kind of have a... I don't want to use the phrase tongue-in-cheek, but I just did, about how, you're against sobriety checkpoints, and you're trying, like, I don't know what else can be done to help people who are in, you're not in favor of the sobriety checkpoints. I don't know what else there is to do except do what they're doing.
Or actually...
He seems to be equating, you're not in favor of that, therefore you like drunk driving. He says in the second line.
This is the problem. It's not about drunk driving. This is about an abuse of our Fourth Amendment rights. No search or seizures without probable cause. So just setting up a checkpoint and stopping every single vehicle and demanding that they roll down the window, maybe even get out of the car and do a little walk or, show registration – it's an offense.
You can drive sober and not have your registration. You cannot have your registration because you just can't get the time off from work to get it done and you're like a week late. You cannot have registration because you just spent all your money saving up for a car because you want to pay in cash. You don't want to be a debt slave like Shauna. And, so you're waiting till your next check or something. Or, maybe you're just an a-hole who didn't get your car registered or whatever, or you have some conscientious objection to registering in the first place. None of those things.
You mean get permission to drive?
That's one way of putting it. None of those things are directly related to incapacitated to drive.
Right. Considering how many people were probably at this event, this checkpoint, their resources would have probably been better spent just driving around town. Maybe scoping out the bars at 2 o'clock or whenever they get out. Is it 1 or 2 here in New Hampshire?
No idea.
Scoping the bars and just looking for people driving erratically, driving crazy, instead of stopping every single person and treating every single individual who was stopped in this event like a criminal. Pre-crime. You get to this point and sorry, papers please.
Have you ever been in a checkpoint, in a sobriety checkpoint?
Papers, please.
I have never been in one. I've seen plenty of them. I've been stopped by a cop and asked to get out because I was suspected of being under the influence, but it was just a taillight incident. Yeah.
I drove through a checkpoint.
I was young then, and I probably would not do the same.
I was already a libertarian and all that jacked up nonsense when I drove through it was like midnight, so there were no cars, and I drove straight into a checkpoint, and I don't even remember what they asked me, but I rolled down the window, I smiled, and
yeah, most people
all that wished I was prettier, and they just went, okay,
most people know that,
like,
right. don't mess with the cops, you know, give them a smile, have your license and your registration and your insurance if necessary all ready to go, and just hand it to them, and don't kick the dog because you'll get bit.
And for some reason, that's really hard for people to understand.
Well, why? These are our employees.
No, I mean the part about, you know, if you don't want to get bit, don't kick the dog. Well, a lot of Liberty folk describe the police as carte blanche, horrible people, and they're, you know, aggressing against me by existing, and clocking in is a violation of the non-aggression principle and all that. And it's like, well, you're pretty aware that this is a huge risk. Why not mitigate that risk? But I still like what they're doing in Manchester. In that guy's, as much as Mark Hayward is saying, oh, these people, they don't like the checkpoints, therefore they're, you know, they think that it's a right to drive drunk and everything. He does at least say that in Manchester, where is it? That at least their behavior is not horrifying.
So, you mean like some places where they,
like in Keene, where the behavior is horrifying or has been, with zero awareness later on that maybe I didn't mitigate risk well enough.
Well, I haven't seen any of that in quite some years.
Well,
it's,
I hope,
pure
it's,
evil!
I hope it's, there's more of that.
I hope it's, I do
more
hope it's
of
gone.
Not.
Fourth Amendment.
Well, you
protects against arbitrary arrest and is the basis of the law regarding search warrants and stop and frisk, safety inspections, wiretaps, and other forms of surveillance, as well as being central to many other criminal law topics and to privacy law.
So good on Manchester.
Not this Monday. Last Monday, City of Keene hosted a land use update event.
Was that public? Was that it was, just you go in and talk, or you go in and listen?
It was both. Go listen to the presentation. If you have some comments, especially if you've had any dealings with zoning here in Keene, tell these guys what you think needs to be done to better the situation. Of course, about 20 people went. Three of them were city council members. One of them was the mayor. And overwhelmingly, the majority of the people who spoke, so we listened to a presentation by these people. The people are TPUDC, Town Planning and Urban Design and Collaboration, or Collaborative, excuse me. I guess they go around. I think they were stationed in Tennessee or
Kentucky. They seem like, just from reading this, they seem like a business that takes those comprehensive master plans. Like Keene has a comprehensive master plan. And without really going into it, about 10 years ago, I would have thought a comprehensive master plan, Keene's, was like something that the city created or was a part of the charter or is like de facto law government. It's a part of how the world works. If we don't have it, everything's going to fall apart. This company apparently they sell master plans. They sell comprehensive plans.
They sell amendments, updates to master plans.
They sell master plans and amendments and changes, whatever they need to do to get stuff done. So it sounds to me like they're third-party consulting for construction businesses, for zoning.
I think they only work with municipalities. You know what? I don't know who. So our master plan is, I guess, six, seven years old now.
07, 06.
And for all I know, these people are the ones who created the one in the first place.
Yeah, they're a business. They make money off of city elders being convinced that they need a master plan.
In order to keep
150 years old. The idea of a city master plan really comes from like the late 1800s in urban America. So I guess Keene would kind of fit as being close to Boston, which 100 some odd years ago really mattered. And it was about sanitation. Like, you need to be able to have clear roadways so that everybody's not dying of dysentery because they're throwing their trash out into the front street. We can't be Church Street everywhere. And that, to me, when I first read about it, sounded reasonable. I didn't want it to be reasonable because I, you know, sat through other master... Oh, this is in line with the master plan for Keene, therefore we're going to do it. Like, no. But the beginning of it sounded reasonable. Like, you need a citywide sanitation plan. Mm-hmm. And now it's... What's up? What was the last thing that I went to that was related to zoning and people are saying this is...
The historical district.
The historical district, making it more difficult for people who live on Main Street, who invested in Main Street, to kind of do them in and make it less legal for the less take away their ability to sell their home because or to improve their home.
But according to the historical heritage committee, it's for the greater good.
It's in line with the master plan.
It's also in line with the master plan, which I had no part in making, and I don't know who did. But, you know, why does my property fall into a master plan that I never signed in on?
Well, you moved here later, so that's kind of on you. But at the same time, I mean, probably where you came from had some type of master plan as well. But what I want to know is how many people attended that meeting that you went to? I didn't go to it, but the one that you went to with these people.
There was 20 people there.
How many people live in Keene?
23,000 residents. That's, and probably another 3,000 to 4,000 college students.
You have a better chance of catching a drunk driver at a checkpoint in Newport in the middle of the summer
than getting someone to come to one of these silly things.
Than getting a reasonable amount of people to come in.
Yeah.
And the same thing with that meeting that I was at with the historic district.
There were more people at that, by the way.
There were very few people at that. And maybe 40.
Which is typical. Which, by the way, is kind of why we're... It's typical. This is kind of why we're doing this show. You know, especially when I run for office, I start to investigate current events. You know, local events, and I go to these meetings, and which no one goes to. Of course, they're aired
because
on.
You've been to those meetings.
They're
aired on, so boring.
They're aired on local TV. Which probably no one watches that either.
Nope.
And I guess I could write, and sometimes I do write a letter to the editor about what I witnessed.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, the only people who actually know what's going on are the good old boys who have a plan. They have a master plan for a great shining city on the side of the mountain, or in this case, in the swamp that is Keene, the lowlands. And everyone else is like, well, whatever, just, you know, let me have some of my money.
I don't think it's so much that it's just that they have a stake in it. They have a tangible stake. They make money off of showing up to these and understanding. It's that it...
Well, some of them probably do have a stake. There might be their land and there might be their real estate involved, which happens a lot, by the way, when it comes to local leaders. A lot of them happen to be in real estate.
Yeah, you live on a house in Church Street and then look at who's on the city council. It's pretty funny. But... When I've gone to these meetings, I never want to be the person who says, you know, I just moved here 10 hours ago and here's what I think you should do. And that has happened. And I apologize to somebody right afterwards. I'm like, yeah, I don't know what she's doing here. She shouldn't have said that. But when I go there, I always want to like know what's going on. I want to know the backstory. Like I come up with a question that I want to know and it gets answered like 2 hours later. And I always think, wow, I need to go to these more often. I need to go to every single meeting all the time. Some of them are during work, so you can't go. So those are out. And there's just so much. And the payoff is so absolutely zilch for me.
this is true. And in order to know the backstory, there's backstory to this event. You know, when at the first master plan meeting, which I didn't attend, and you've got to go to every single one and actually know what's going on. And if you ask questions, you know, what questions do you ask? And sometimes you're up there looking stupid and they're giving you a hard time. Like, who's this jerk off who's here asking us these tough questions? Or maybe they're not tough. Maybe they're out of ignorance.
Yeah.
You know, like, why are you even doing this? Is this even kosher? Oh, of course it's kosher. We wrote this ordinance into effect,
if you
know, 15 years ago.
If you were here 3 years ago at our meeting at 2 a.m.
Yeah.
And I think that's why so many people don't don't go to these things because there's so many. You just get lost in the fact that you really don't have, it's not that you don't have a stake in it. Like, I would love for everybody to pack these meetings and tell them all to go to hell. But, you know, on an individual level, you just can't see the return. Whereas if you are working for the city or you're working for somebody who owns a, you know, tree lining service, I don't know,
or
you work for this company, TPUDC, this is your job.
Yeah.
You know,
and by the way, they're going around selling themselves too. They're looking for we're looking for cities who are progressive cities who want to fix their zoning problem.
The problem is that these city meetings, the city master plans and all that, they're not part of government. It's not an aspect of civic participation. It's an industry. There's money in this. These people are not, they're not making nothing off of this.
Oh, yeah.
It's an industry.
This particular...
and you ain't in it.
This event is costing the city $200,000. For basically some business types to tell the city planners what I can tell them right now.
What would you tell them right
now? Fix your zoning. Stop making it so hard for individuals and business owners to do what they want to do on their property.
Mm-hmm.
You know, building permits and zoning it's not cool here in Keene. It's hard to do. Prime example, the Monadnock shopping area.
Monadnock Plaza, yeah.
Monadnock Plaza, I believe. It's where our Home Depot and our Target and all those big shoppers stores are. It took 20 years from the origins of that idea, that concept, 20 years from origin to completion, because it's just a lot of silliness and nonsense. And, you know, businesses look at things like that and it's like, well, all right, what's the property tax and how long is it going to take me from point A to point B to get up and running? And when they see things like 20 years, it's like, no, I'm not going to, I'll move into maybe an existing building, but if they want to build something brand new, like a Home Depot, it's like, no, I'm not going to deal with it. I'm not coming to your stupid city. I'm going to move elsewhere.
You know, it's funny that you bring up Monadnock Marketplace, where the Home Depot and the Price Dropper and Target and all that are, because when I first moved here, as I drove into the Monadnock shopping place for the first time 7 years ago, mm-hmm. I immediately thought, wow, I'm back in Southern California where everything looks exactly the same. Really, the feel, the, you know, the fonts, the architecture is so recognizable. It is so cookie cut. It is not in line with the historic nature of Keene. And I mean, I like it. I like the food. I like the prices and all that. But it's, you know, it's just part of an, it's just a cog in the industry.
Well, part of the problem, and a lot of people, especially at this meeting, know that the problem is many years ago, way before our time, mm-hmm. the people who were setting up and regulating the zoning in this area wanted to prevent a boom. They didn't want Keene to become a boom town where everyone moves in here and all of a sudden you've got a Walmart and a Kmart and a Lowe's and a Home Depot right next to each other and you've got...
Do you mean like a boom town that then becomes a ghost town? Because that actually does kind of sound responsible.
If it becomes a ghost town, but why would it become a ghost town unless a big industry was to move out of town or the gold was to dry up?
Right.
So no, that doesn't happen unless, you know, something...
So that's not a possible concern that they could have had.
No, they wanted – no.
It sounds
– Their concern was keep Keene a nice, quaint, you know, little portion of New Hampshire down here in the bottom north, southwest where it's hard to get to because the roads are silly, like 101's coming all over here. There's so many stoplights and so many, you know, twists and turns.
Well, they did make a lot of improvements to the transportation. I mean, I know in the 1800s, a lot of the – In early 1900s, it seemed like, from what I've read, a lot of the manufacturing and a lot of the jobs in Keene came from furniture and chairs.
Mm-hmm. And we used to have a train running
through. This area was really good at it. And I don't know where that comes into a boom. You know, it's not like everyone's going to be like, I'm sick of sitting down. I'm going to stand forever. And then this place becomes a ghost town. So I don't know where they would. I mean, I understand zoning, the concept, like, okay, you can't run.
You don't want scuzzies living next to you.
Nobody does.
I don't want scuzzies. I don't want someone putting a pig farm right next to me either. But you know what?
I don't want a Starbucks right next door, even though we, you know, it's their property. They can do without, but they can do what they want on their property. But I would rather not. I would rather move into a neighborhood, into a residential area, and be like, this is where homes are.
I would rather.
I'm more likely to run into a kid riding on his bike without a helmet and being careful and not cracking his head open than I am, you know, a super mom who wants with a talk to your manager haircut barreling down because she's, you know, trying to get into Dunkin' Donuts or something right next door. I understand the concept of zoning, but from what I've seen and heard with, you know, if you want to do anything, you have to get at least 2-3 layers of permission and pay money. It's not sustainable.
It's a pain in the neck. So, but no, as far as what you're saying about living next to pig farmers or Starbucks, you know, I wish that, say, for example, our neighborhood, which is very compact and quaint, would set up a homeowners association where we all agreed that, hey, we don't want pig farmers in the neighborhood, so we're going to make it a law. We're going to make it a rule, and if anyone who moves in here will have to follow that particular rule. But blanketing the entire city with basically a homeowners association master plan that none of us signed on to is not fair, and it hurts people who may have great ideas with their property, bringing employees to town, bringing services to town that we're losing because of ghost town. Because that's what happens when you chase people off, especially the young, the kids. You know, my girl stayed here for a couple of months here in Keene, and she
got
promptly,
out as soon as she could.
She promptly moved out because...
And it was because of employment. It wasn't like, ooh, F you, Dad, I'm running off. It's like, there's no jobs here for a little kid, for a kid.
Employment, but it's not just employment, because if you chase all the kids off, then where are her friends living? Her friends, of course, are going to the big city.
Well, so that's a social thing. Yeah.
So it's a social thing. It's an employment thing. It's a property tax thing. And Keene is chasing off its youth, and the youth are going to be they're the next in line to take care of your old butts. If you chase them off, you're going to be stuck, especially if things like Social Security dries up,
well, then
becomes insolvent, and then they're not getting any money.
Then they'll just lure in kids with the idea of, oh, the nursing industry is doing great. Come here and be a nurse. You make so much money. That's the only way I can imagine them luring in young people anymore. I mean, a lot of companies that are hiring a lot of people, people come in from Mass. You know, if you live in Keene, and especially the younger people, that you turn 18, and that's only until you turn 18, are you allowed to work in a fast food place that has heated food. You can't work back in a restaurant until you're 18, because
so
you're not allowed to. You have to be supervised at all times. You can't do it.
Well, you can blame minimum wage on that. And, of course,
that's part of it.
And insurance issues where no one wants a dumb 14-year-old, you know, burning themselves on the grill.
That's why you train them.
Well, and then, yeah. But if you have to pay whatever minimum wage here, is it $8 yet? For some dumb 14-year-old who's not worth $3 an hour, you know, it's not worth it. You know, let's just, you know, hire a machine, hire a robot to do that work. But as far as, you know, bringing kids to Keene, if you watched our first episode, Washington Park, which is a new development that's going up, a lot of people think that that's going to entice well-to-do millennials. Millennials with good jobs. You know, no one likes the scuzzy millennials. They can, you know, go live in a hole somewhere. But, you know, if you get
They should have been born better, idiots.
If you could get maybe some techie millennials, or I don't know what their ultimate plan is, but supposedly that is what's going to happen. And we'll see if they could find parking, that is. And I don't think that's going to happen unless we build a parking garage. Taxpayer paid parking garage, which I'm not in favor of. And you know what?
Do you hear me? I said, get off my lawn now.
That's me, old man. Get off my lawn.
So what else is going in the bigger world or in Keene?
Well, you know what? I wanted to talk about Zika, but we're just going to have to do a special show about Zika.
Oh,
The Zika / microcephaly scare.
Basically, it's a scam, like Ebola was a scam, like pig flu, like swine flu, like what, avian flu? No, that's swine. That's... Okay, well, you listed two different forms of the pig flu twice, so that's on you. It's a scam.
Yeah, well, Zika, totally real.
Okay, so Zika's not a scam, folks. I lied.
Discovered in the 50s. Probably been around for hundreds of years, but it was actually labeled and discovered. Microcephaly, absolute real thing. I think there's like 10,000 cases a year here in the U.S.
Way too many.
It's and terrible. Now all of a sudden, this year, Zika is
causing the little baby heads.
Yeah. And not something else. And it's only coming from Brazil. And Zika's Zika's everywhere where this mosquito can survive.
A certain type of mosquito can carry it, yeah. So what you're concerned is, or what the story that everybody's being told is that you get bit by a mosquito that has Zika, then you have Zika, and then you get Prego, and then the baby comes out with its little tiny head because of Zika. And the real story is...
what's really causing it?
Why everyone's got Zika. Pretty much, it's not Zika. It's the pesticides or...
Larvicide,
okay.
So now, why are people in Colombia, right next door to Brazil,
mm-hmm.
they have, I think they've listed so far this year, 12,000 cases plus of Zika patients, and they've only had like two or three microcephaly cases, which makes sense if we're talking about, you know, as far as the U.S. population is currently like 10,000 a year. So you're going to have them, so they're going to crop up. But in Brazil, there's like 1,200.
Well, then there's something being done differently, and that's going to be broken down in the Zika show.
Yes, we'll break that down in the Zika show.
So what will be broken down right now?
It's a scam. Stop.
What topic will be broken down right now?
Oh, what next topic are we going to talk about? let's talk about the Portsmouth eminent domain. If we're talking about all this property, zoning, building permits, city master planners getting together because they know what's best for you, the little man. This, all you are is a taxpayer, revenue cow. This happened... it's been going on for, I think, almost a decade now. There's a piece of land owned by this individual. Let me change the camera for you. Oh, it's already on there. No, it's not. This individual...
4.6 acres of land behind James Boyle's Toyota of Portsmouth dealership. So it's not just some bum who's like got a tent behind Hannaford. It's like he has... if he has a kid, then that kid can say, my dad owns a dealership.
Yeah, he loans that land. That's real land. He's a real person. And he has plans for this particular piece of land. He wants to put more parking on it.
He's going to expand his dealership. He's got a lot of things to do.
However, back in the day, 1967, the city of Portsmouth put a sewer line through the back of this property. And by the time it got sold a couple of times and eventually sold to Doyle, that information wasn't on the deed.
So the city owns the sewer line because an error was made in 1967. The city didn't get a piece of paper saying the sewer line's ours. And they're saying, therefore, we want all 4.6 acres for whatever the government's going to do. They want to fix something because they couldn't get it right the first time. Where is that?
Well, they want to have access to it, and they don't want someone building a parking lot over it.
Which makes sense to say there's a sewer line. We got to get in there to take care of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
but there's plenty of sewer lines all over the place. This is
nothing
new.
Well, can you
new.
Shut down a sewer line, or what other things could they do?
Well, instead of spending almost $4 million fighting this individual, trying to get that land by eminent domain...
and eminent domain means the government takes the land and pays the owner a reasonable price. So instead of paying him a reasonable price, they spend $10 million to still get to
have... $4 million.
Okay. So they spend $4 million to be able to pay him a reasonable price. So they've already way overspent the cost.
Well, building the sewer line, they could have extended the sewer line, built it around this man's property, $500,000. Instead, they're like, no... we just need to take this land. We're going to take this man to court. He's been to court more than a dozen times fighting for his property, his blood, sweat, and tears.
Mm-hmm.
They've lost every single time, and the estimate of spending on this case amounts to $4 million. I think he spent $2 million. And now the decision has become, sorry, we're just going to take it. Eminent domain, we're taking this land for the greater good. And as long as it's not a private industry, a private owner, taking the land. It's perfectly legal, if I understand correctly, except he's going to take these people to court.
So he was the second person to buy it, to buy that land.
I think he's just from the city, right?
Yeah, he's the second person, and none of those documents that he had said, oh, also, the city owns the sewer line that's running below it.
Correct. He didn't find out till after the fact, after the money had changed hands. We'll be watching this one, of course, because this one is near and dear to my heart.
But if it weren't for the government, who would screw over people, taking
our land, either forcing us to construct our buildings a special way or get special permits to do certain things, or just straight out taking our land from us for the greater good. I think it's obnoxious. I think it's criminal. And every single one of these city councilors should be ashamed of themselves for thinking that this is an acceptable notion when they could have, like I said, just built the stupid thing around.
Well,
500,000 could have been done years ago.
Well, they could have built around it. They could have. There's another article that says that he was willing to sell them 2 acres that probably was related to it, and they said no.
So, or just the actual line itself. It would probably be less than 2 acres. I don't know if that's true or not. Yes, the other article says that he was willing to work with these people for a good amount. He might have been asking too much money. And they're like, no, we're not giving you $1 million for this piece of land.
Instead, we'll spend $4 million.
But hey, it's not their money. It's just our money, and it's infinite. They have infinite time and resources at their disposal to make this happen.
City government is an industry that is funding itself.
And that is that. We'll probably do, I don't know if we'll ever be able to do the Zika story.
Or else we will not talk about it ever again. That's the fact.
But I put all these show notes.
I'm writing
together.
It down.
I need to do it because I'm sick and tired of hearing everyone. You got the mainstream media, you got local media, you've got my neighbors.
What do you want the local people to know about it?
I want them to stop worrying about it. It's a scam. Stop worrying about it. Congress doesn't need $1.9 billion to fight this because it's a scam.
There is nothing to fight.
They're all complaining about.
Except whoever's making that larvicide. That's what should be fought.
The scam. No, the CDC, who is saying that this is this connection.
You can't fight the CDC. You just put a sign out there that says you guys are bad, whatever.
Big Pharma, who wants to make a vaccine for Zika. You've got the country of Brazil, who has all of these cases on their hand, and they don't want to admit it. It's something that they did.
I don't care about Brazil. I care about people who live here not being so lied to about the news. And, you know, that's all I got. I mean, I think
catastrophe. Catastrophe.
It's a total catastrophe. Hey, guys, you've been watching Citizen Kane. Head over to our website, citizenkane.org, where you can find all the previous shows, exactly 2 of them, and getting ready to be 3 because we're moving on up. As well as all the show notes to all the articles that we just discussed. Stay up to date by liking our Facebook page. I do keep news articles and updates on a pretty regular basis there. Send your messages to me directly. Show@citizenkane.org is the email. Or if you would like to leave a voice message, 267-521-2771 is the number. Just leave your message after the tone. Keep it snippy. Keep it precise. And hey, thank you for watching. We'll see you next week at the same exact time. Good evening.
It doesn't really have to be precise or snippy. Just a wall of text. I'll read it.
Shauna will read the however much you put in the message. And if you leave a voicemail that's more than 2 minutes, if it's more than a minute, I'm just going to forward it straight to Shauna to listen to at her convenience.
My leisure and pleasure.